I like to speak from familiar passages of Scripture. The Scripture which we have read or studied or heard preached all of our lives, because I feel like that every time I study and restudy a particular familiar portion of God's Word, the Lord gives me something new and something beautiful. And this morning I want you to turn with me to John 14. You know immediately what Scripture I'm going to read. John 14, 1 through 6. I'm going to speak on the subject, Christ, the way to God. Christ, the way to God. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6. Our Lord said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Now, my friends, the disciples were troubled. They were troubled. Our Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." They were troubled, and they had reason to be troubled. And in the state, if you and I are in the state they're in or were in, we have a reason to be troubled too. They had a reason to be troubled. You see, they didn't understand. They didn't understand what this was all about. Now, they had this conception of the Lord's kingdom. They believed he was the Messiah. Peter said that. "We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you're the Son of David. We believe you're the rightful heir to the throne of David." And they had the idea that the Lord Jesus had come to set up the Jewish kingdom, a mighty and influential and powerful and splendid and majestic kingdom right here on this earth, a materialistic kingdom, a rich and powerful kingdom, to throw off the bondage of Rome and the Jew be free once again. That's what they thought. And then our Lord talked to them about dying. He said, "I'm going to die." And he talked to them about their denying him and forsaking him. "All of you," he said, "will be offended because of me this night, and the sheep will be scattered." He talked to them not about influence, but persecution. He talked to them not about acceptance, but rejection. Why, he said, "They'll cast you out of the synagogue. Why, the time will come when the man who kills you will think that he's doing God a service." They didn't understand this. And all the mysteries of the gospel and the mysteries of our Lord's kingdom and the mysteries of eternal life are never understood by the natural man. "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of men, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." And he said to his disciples later, he said, "I've got many things to tell you. You're not able to bear them now. You can't understand them. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll guide you into all truth." These men were troubled. They didn't understand. And that's when our Lord said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." He comforts them. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You believe in God? Do you believe in God? Believe in me. Trust in me. Rest in me. Do like Job. Job said, "Though he slay me, I'll trust him." Job didn't understand all that was happening to him. Why, he lost all of his cattle and his sheep and his oxen, and all 10 of his children were killed in one great tornado. And here he sat broke and miserable, and his health was gone. He had boils all over his body, and people were laughing at him and ridiculing him. And he'd read promises in the Word of God, how that they that trust the Lord shall be blessed, and how that they that believe on God will be prospered above all men. And this is so spiritually, but not always physically. And Job didn't understand it. But he did say this, though he slay me, I'll trust him. And that's what the Lord's saying to the disciples here. He is saying, you believe in God, believe in me. Believe in me. Rest in me. Trust in me. And then David, these were the last words of David. David's life was an enigma. A powerful man, a godly man, a man after God's own heart, a man who started out slaying his 10,000s, and then his own son killed one of his other sons, and then another son tried to throw him off of the throne and won the hearts of the people from his father. And David became an outcast. And all of this occurred, and when he died, he said, before he died, he said, although my house be not so with God, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. I believe him. I believe him. And that's what our Lord's saying here to the disciples. He's saying, let not your heart be troubled. You don't understand, I know. You can't understand. You can't put this all together. How can the finite mind of a man comprehend the infinite mind of God? How can we in our foolishness and ignorance even hope to comprehend the infinite, infallible, all-wise mind of God and purpose of God and ways of God? Can't do it. So we must walk by faith and not by sight. Our sight's not that good. It doesn't reach that far either way. It's by far as I can see. I can't see 4,000 years back and 2,000 years ahead. I can't see that far. I can't see into the past. I can't see into the eternal counsels of God. I can't see into the secret chambers of God's will and wisdom. I can't see into the future. I must not walk by sight. I must not continually put out the fleece, I hear people say. You be careful of signs and wonders. Our Lord said, no sign shall be given but that of the Word of God. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Prove God. God doesn't have to be proved. God is God. Who needs to be proved is ourselves. Prove your own selves whether you be in the faith. God doesn't have to be proved. Proved as a God. God doesn't have to be proved. Prove the gospel to me. No, we don't. God doesn't have to be proved. I tell you who must be approved, and that's us. And these disciples did. And our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, my friend, by nature and birth, we don't have a place. I take that back. We have a place. It says when Judas hanged himself, he went to his own place. And if we die in our sins, that's our place too. Separated from God in darkness and evil and corruption forever and ever. That's our place. But by nature, we don't have a place in God's presence. Our Lord said, you know, the average person thinks when the Lord said this to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that he's talking about going up there and laying some golden streets and putting up a few buildings and putting a wall around it and a few gates of precious stone. No, sir. The preparation of the place is the place of acceptance in the sight of God Almighty. And that took his obedience. By one man's disobedience, I was made sin. By the obedience of another, I was made righteous. So Christ prepared a place of acceptance and a place of righteousness and a place of holiness and a place of glory and a place of eternal rest in the presence of God by his obedience and by his death and by his intercession. That's preparing for me a place. I've got no place by nature. And this place the Lord's talking about preparing is the place in God's favor. You know, when man fell, he fell out of favor with God. We're not born in God's favor. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. We're born, the wicked go astray from the womb, speaking lies. We're conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity and brought forth speaking lies. Our place is a place of destitution and despair and distress and damnation. Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the preparation of that place is by his obedience, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his intercession. And he says, and if I go and prepare this place, you know, one time he said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. Well, if the Lord didn't go, when the Lord speaks of going away, he's speaking of his death, his burial, his resurrection. He says, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit has no reason to come. He doesn't have any gospel to reveal. He doesn't have any blood to apply. He doesn't have any salvation to give, because Christ accomplished that by his death. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, not just to a materialistic future world, not just to gladness and happiness and freedom from sickness and sorrow and death, but unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. Have you ever thought much about where I am, that where I am, there you may be? Where is Christ? Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's at the right hand of God. That's right. He sat down on the right, at the right hand of God. That's the right hand. You know what the right hand is to a king? It's the place of love, acceptance. It's the place of honor. It's the place of glory. And Christ sat down at the Father's right hand, having finished his work. And you know, we who died in him and were buried in him and arose in him are also seated with him in the heavenlies. Where Christ is, there you may be also. Where is Christ? At the right hand of God. Where is Christ? Exalted above every name, given a name above every name, in heaven, earth, and hell. Where is Christ? He's eternally glorified. And brethren, every one of his people are in him. And where he is, there we are also. And then he goes on and he says, and the way you know, the way you know. And one of them said, well, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And that's when he gave my text. And this is what I want us to think about now for the rest of the time. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but me. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to this place I prepare. I am the way to where I am. I am the truth about it, and I am the life of it. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, my friends, this whole situation in which we find ourselves, this whole state of inability and state of corruption and state of sin, and that's where we are. You say, I'm dissatisfied with my world. Well, God is too. This world is a world of sin. This world system is contrary to God, in opposition to God, and truth and holiness and love and life. Always has been, always will be. And this whole thing got started in the Garden of Eden. When our father, Adam, in Adam all died. In Adam, sin and death passed upon all men. In Adam, judgment and condemnation came upon all men. God created one man. That man was Adam. The word Adam means man, the Hebrew word for man. And every man was created in Adam, and we stood in Adam, and we fell in Adam. God never created you, nor me. He created Adam. You and I came from Adam. You see, we were born by natural generation. Adam, even Eve, came out of Adam. God didn't form Eve from the dust of the ground like he did Adam. He formed Eve out of Adam. Adam was the first man. Adam was the man God made, according to the word of God. Made him in his own image, made him holy and upright. Eve came out of him. And you and I came out of him. We came from the seed of Adam. The first son, Cain, Abel, and all the rest of them born in between. And we inherited an evil nature. And when Adam sinned, you see, Adam lost three things. First, he lost life. God said, if you eat of the forbidden tree, you die. Well, Adam didn't die physically, not right at that moment. He lived another 700 or 800 years. But he died spiritually. The life of God. God created Adam in his own image, breathed into Adam the breath of life. He became a living soul. He walked with God. He knew God. He didn't know anything about sin. He didn't even know he was naked. He had no experience with sin. He knew nothing of shame. He knew nothing of guilt. He knew nothing of lust. He knew nothing of anger. He knew nothing of hate. After he fell, he knew shame because he ran and hid. He knew fear because he hid. He knew hate because he blamed what he did on the woman whom he was supposed to love. He knew lies. He began to tell God a lie. You see that? What happened to this man? The divine life went out. The light went out. He died. You see, God cannot lie. Man can, because man doesn't have the divine life, the holy life, the life of God. That life, that light went out in the Garden of Eden. Man's a sinful nature. God cannot lie. God cannot sin. God cannot hate. You see, God is holy. Man is unholy. And everything man is in opposition to God. The true divine life of God, the holy life of God. And man not only lost life, but he lost the truth. He believed the devil's lie and refused God's truth, and he's been doing that ever since. You tell a man a lie, he'll believe it a whole lot quicker than he will the truth. That's what Christ said. He said, I'm talking about spiritually now. I'm not talking about naturally or physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Christ said, let another come in his own name, and him you will receive. I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. Tell a man a lie about God, and he'll believe it, a natural man, not a believer, but a natural man, quicker than he will the truth about God. He lost the truth of God. He can't comprehend the truth of God. The truth of God, the wisdom of God, is what? Foolishness with man. That's what God says. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. There's a way that seemeth right to man, and the end is death. Isn't that what Scripture says? The end is death. The way that seems right to a man, reasonable, logical, right to that man. Tell him what God said, and he doesn't think that's right. See, he's got his own mind made up. He lost the truth, and he lost the way to God. God put him out of the garden and shut the door, put flaming swords so he couldn't get back to the tree of life and live on forever in the condition he's in. That's what we lost, the way, the truth, and the life. In Christ, all three of those things are restored. In Adam we died, in Christ we're made alive. Christ is the truth of God, and Christ is the way to God. Now I want to look at those individually just for a moment. Are you with me? Christ said, I am the way. I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I'm a good way. He didn't say, I'm a sincere way. He didn't say, I'm a special or a convenient way or even a simple way. He said, I am the way. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Christ is the way to God. Not one of the ways, he's the only way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's for sure. That is the truth. If I know God, it'll be through Christ. If I love God, it'll be through Christ. If I walk with God, it'll be through Christ. If I ever see God, it'll be through Christ. All right? Christ says, I am the way. And he says, I am the way. Now, when we talk about a way, when you talk about a way, you presuppose two things, two points, where I am and where I'm going. If you're talking about a way, now Christ is the way. He says, the only way, and he says, I am the way. Now, when we talk about a way, we're talking about two points, where I am and where I'm going. Well, where am I and where am I going? Where do I want to go? Well, Christ is the way from ruin to righteousness. As by one man's disobedience we were made sinners, by another man, Christ Jesus, we were made righteous. From ruin to righteousness, Christ is the way. And then from death to life, Christ is the way. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Christ is the way from death, spiritual death. Now, I'm going to die physically, and you are too. It's appointed unto men once to die. And every man that's ever lived has died, except Enoch and Elijah, and they were translated, taken to be with God without dying. But even our Lord died. And Christ is the way from spiritual death to spiritual life. And Christ is the way from enmity to peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Christ is the way from guilt. What the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. Christ is the way from guilt to pardon. He's the way from condemnation to acceptance. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved. And Christ is the way from hell to heaven. Now watch this carefully. Don't leave me now. This is the heart of the gospel. Our Lord said, I am the way. I am the way, the only way. And I am the way from ruin to righteousness. And he says, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He didn't say, I'll make a way. He didn't say, I'll provide a way. He said, I am the way. This is where most people miss the gospel. Christ doesn't point to a way and say, walk in it. He says, I am the way. Would you have wisdom? Christ is our wisdom. He himself is our wisdom. Would you have righteousness? Christ is our righteousness. He's not just an example. He is our righteousness with God. We are righteous in him. We are holy in him. Would you have peace? Christ is our peace. That's what the scripture says. He's our peace himself. He didn't just make a way of peace or provide a way of peace or assure us of peace. He is our peace. Would you have holiness? Christ is our holiness. Would you have life? Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him, and he is my life. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You don't find life at the front of the church or in church membership or in the waters of baptism or in the experience behind the barn. Life is in Christ. Would you have hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't miss this. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ says, I am the way. Thomas said, Lord, show us the way. He says, I am the way. He didn't point to a law or to a doctrine or to a tradition or to a ceremony or to even a way of walking. He said, pointed to himself, I am the way. You see, a branch, here's a vine, and a branch grows out of the vine. And you cut the branch off from the vine, what happens to the branch? It withers and dies, and you burn it. The vine goes on living. Well, the branch will go on living as it's securely, vitally joined to the vine. So the life of that branch is the vine. It is the vine. And the life of that branch is in its intimate, personal relationship with that vine. And Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the head, you are the body. I can lose a hand and go on living, a leg, not my head. This is where the life, this is where the government, this is where all of it is. Cut that off and I'm gone. Christ is my head. Ye are the body. Union with Christ. This is what I'm saying, friend. Don't miss it. He of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is that. You say, but preacher, what shall I do? Do? Nothing but believe on Christ. But preacher, I tell you, I'm going to go home and pray. I hope you do. I believe you will. You ought to. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ. But I tell you, I'm going to be baptized and join the church. I hope you do. You ought to. You're commanded to if you're a believer. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ. Well, I'm going to quit doing the things I've been doing and start worshiping and serving God. I hope you will. I believe you will. You're commanded to. But that's not the gospel. Christ is the gospel. And don't you get that confused with the gospel either. I'm redeemed by Christ. Christ is the way. Not allegiance to Christ or following an example of Christ or talking about Christ. He himself is the way. And I am in that way as he's in me and I'm in him by faith. He is the gospel. I am the way to God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Not the Lord's doctrine, nor the Lord's people, nor the Lord's church, but the Lord himself. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy. I've got to be vitally in a living relationship joined to the Son of God. Doctrine won't save. It won't do to die by. It might do to live by, but it won't do to die by. Christ is the gospel. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. What do you mean I'm the truth? Truly man and truly God. I am the truth, truly prophet, priest, and king, the only one. I am the truth. I'm the sum and substance of every promise. Every promise is in Christ, fulfilled in Christ. Everything God has is vested in Christ, turned over to Christ. This world's been turned over to him. He's Lord of the living and the dead. Christ is the truth. He's the truth of every type, shadow, and example in the Old Testament. Christ is the truth in opposition to every error, and I am the life. We know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. He is true. He is the truth, and he is the life. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Christ, the way to God. It's a person. Salvation is not a plan. It's not a proposition. It's a person. I hope you know him.